Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Oh, man. Joining us now, we have our favorite farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, by whose house I rode yesterday on my bicycle with my wife. And as we're riding up in Jay yesterday and having a good old time. And let's start with this. Regional Murrow Award-winning farmer, Ryan Jenkins, congratulations on, we got a Murrow for this segment for last year that Candy wrote up, and we might win it nationally, but we definitely won it locally, and it would not have been possible without you. So congratulations, sir, and thank you for making that happen.
Well, thank you. All I did was answer your question, so I think you're the award winner.
I tell you, I get more comments on your segment. People love it, and they're so glad that you're around, and they appreciate all the information. So I absolutely appreciate it, too. What a great blessing to have met you through Leadership Santa Rosa. I drove past yesterday. I sent you a really stupid, corny picture of me in front of the corn. I apologize for that. How is the corn doing? It seems to be full grown, but is it coming in healthy?
It is. We've had a pretty good growing season up until now. You know, the yield potential is very high. Like you say, the plants look healthy and all, but now we're to the critical phase. When you see them like they were yesterday, when you see the tassels coming out of the top, which is the male part of the plant that pollinates the rest of it, from there on out for the next probably month, it needs the most water that it needs in its life cycle. So this will really determine what our yield's going to be like. If we don't soon get some rain and a good amount of it, you know, our yields aren't going to be as high as what they could have been. So we're hoping for rain for our crops, especially the corn right now as it's in its critical phase. But yeah, all in all, it definitely looks pretty when you drive by, doesn't it?
But it needs the rain to be full. Okay, so that makes sense. I do weird question. It seemed to me like over the last month that when I go to the grocery store, I see abundant corn at cheaper prices than it's been for a long time. And I'm trying to reconcile, why is it sweet corn season at the grocery store in May when your corn is clearly not yet full grown and harvested yet in the field?
Well, it's two different types of corn. This is field corn, and yours that you're seeing that everybody likes to eat and loves to eat out of the grocery store is sweet corn. And that's planted a little bit earlier and has a little bit shorter growing cycle than the corn that we grow basically for feed.
Okay. And then we have another round of the sweet corn that comes later in the year, too. Am I right about that? Because I think of like the corn festivals in Illinois were always like September or something.
Well, a lot of the sweet corn guys in the area, they'll plant several different crops of it to try to keep it coming in all throughout the summer while people are enjoying eating it.
Oh.
Instead of it just like my crop just going to come off at one time. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, because they're trying to satisfy a sort of a temporary market and want the corn to be fresh. You're trying to satisfy like the feed and grain sort of version of the corn. Is that right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's why you're award winning.
we are award winning. Hey, I also wanted to ask you, I see the rows. It's kind of funny because you told me about the double row planting for the peanuts, and everywhere I go, I see these little double rows. I'm like, I know what my wife. She's like, I know what those are now because I recognize them going in. How is the wheat? How did the wheat do this year? Which you don't grow a lot of, but you still grow some.
The wheat was terrible. We like it. You know, it'll hit every once in a while, and it's, you know, that's called double cropping. So we have a crop that grows during the winter, and we harvest it in the spring. Then we plant our so-called money crop, our cotton or soybeans or whatever behind it, and we try to get two crops off of one year. But this year, I can't remember, was it in April when we were talking, and we had kind of a weird cold snap there.
Yeah.
And we had a little freeze. That really, I think, set us back on our wheat. You know, usually our yields are around 60 bushels to the acre. And this year we're in that 35 to 45 bushels per acre.
Wow.
And the quality is really bad. So, multiple things talk about. This time last year, wheat prices were $11 a bushel. This year, they're $6 a bushel. And by the time we finished getting everything docked, the prices docked that we're getting paid for the quality being poor, we're not making but $3 and something a bushel.
Oh, my God. So it's a quarter of last year's price, and you're only harvesting about 60% of what you harvested last year. You're losing money on wheat, I assume.
Losing money, yes. It's so much fun when stuff like that happens. It just it makes your days go by so fast. But yeah, we're not making much money on our wheat this year. We finished well. I like one pass. It rained out of nowhere Saturday. We were finishing up our last field of wheat for the year, and I like one pass being done. But we're about to be done with that and clean the combine up and put it up until it's time to shell corn in the end of July.
And so, but I mean, you still have to harvest it because even though it's not going to make you money, you're going to avoid losing even more by, getting what you can get, right?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I want it off the field so I can plant the next crop.
Get out of my sight so I can plant something that's going to work this year.
That's right.
I get it. Right. Hey, hang on for me for just a second, Ryan. Hang on. Let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Okay. Watching that one accident on Barrancas. Now, it looks like the bridge is cleared. So watch for emergency vehicles on scene. That's the eastbound side of the Bayou Chico Bridge. A little slow. I'm guessing somebody there is directing traffic, but not backed up anymore. If you have traffic tips, text them in, though, 437. 1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins, our award-winning Murrow award-winning Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms. The governor recently signed HB 1279. This is a law that I think does kind of in our state what has been done in some other states. When you buy agricultural materials that are tax exempt, you have to like file papers every time, and this will allow you to have basically a card that sort of streamlines the paperwork process. Is that basically right? Is that going to help you guys very much?
It'll help. It'll make life easier. Now, if you have something that's tax exempt, you have to fill out paperwork, like you say, and give it to each individual company that you do business with for that product. And now it'll be easier just to be able to flash basically a credit card looking thing at them, and they say, all right, you're good to go. That type of, it's just going to streamline the process and make life a little faster and a little easier for us.
Outstanding. Is cotton in yet? Pardon me for forgetting where we are in the season yet. Is cotton in yet?
It is. We're basically through finished planting everything.
Okay.
Last week, we're like one field of cotton today that I had to cut the wheat off of on Saturday. And so hopefully, by right after lunch today, we'll be finished planting cotton for the first time. Then we have to go around and replant the places that didn't come up the first time. And I know we've got, probably 100 acres worth of that to do, I imagine.
And you've got, so what you're wanting is you're wanting water for the corn and water, I assume, for the early phases of the cotton. And then later on, you want heat for the cotton. Is that right?
That's right. If we could get in a pattern where basically we got an inch of rain every week, and that was about all we got, got it on one day and then let it go until the next week, that would be, in my eyes, that would be a perfect scenario. But you know what? I'm thankful to God every time we get what we get. So it's he takes care of us, and we end up doing better than we deserve almost every time. So I'm appreciative for that.
All right, you're going to laugh at me, but I got to tell you this story because it relates to you. My wife and I are biking yesterday, and we're biking across all these fields, right, that have got all these crops in and, just been planted and barely growing. And first of all, we see fire hydrants next to all these fields, and I'm baffled by this because they don't seem to be by houses, and I don't understand. And then I see these kind of weird-looking, I don't know, to me they look like spigots and faucets and things like that in the middle of a lot of these fields. And my wife's like, what's that for? And I said, they don't do irrigation here. Ryan has said many times we don't bother irrigating because it rains enough. And then a little later on, we see these little pipes sticking up, and they say, warning petroleum line here. And it finally, when I drove past a place that actually had a a flame going and some tanks holding some oil, I realized, oh, my God, these are oil fields and oil wells. And that's, I assume, why the fire hydrants are there, because Jay at least used to be a massive oil drilling area. Is that right?
That's correct. Back in the 70s, oil was discovered in the area here. And at the time, it turned out to be one of the biggest oil finds in the country. For many years, Jay was, well, they call it the oil capital of Florida, but it was booming as far as the oil business goes. We had several refineries around, and it was really pumping a lot of oil, brought a lot of money into the area, brought a lot of people into the area, and it made a lot of people basically millionaires overnight, once the oil was found. So it changed the landscape here a little bit. Now it's kind of I'm not the oil man, but it's getting toward the end of its cycle, I would say. They're still pumping oil. I know two or three years ago they hit three more oil wells here in the area, and that's probably the ones that you saw yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was a real big thing, and it's been good for a lot of people.
I just think it was interesting to see how that has gotten integrated with the farming, because, taking the oil out from down beneath and the farming up on top, like that's the multiple uses of the land and the underneath the land, the mineral rights or whatever.
Absolutely.
Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you about, we always like to end with kind of a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week, Ryan?
Well, since I think people would be interested to know, since we've kind of finishing up planting season here, we don't plant the same number of plants for each crop that we plant. Everything does better at a specified number. So I thought people might be interested to know the rates at which we plant stuff at.
Yeah.
So for cotton, we plant about 24,000 seed per acre. For peanuts, we plant about 87,000 seed per acre. And for soybeans, we plant about 160,000 seed per acre. So we're trying to get about that many plants per acre. And we've learned over the years for our soil type and our environment that's where kind of the sweet spot is for that population to be planted in your field. So I thought people might be interested to know kind of how many plants might they find in an acre of land here in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, interesting, because as everything else, it's all driven by science and results and harvest yields and, basically programming the planter to put the right stuff in the ground so that you get the best out of it in the end. And hopefully it doesn't turn out like we did this year. Ryan Jenkins, he's our farmer up in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms, and I will say the co-recipient of a Regional Murrow Award. Ryan, thank you so much for doing this for all this time. Thanks for helping me understand so much, and thanks for being so informative for our listeners, man. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having us. I hope everybody has a great week.
Yeah, absolutely.